The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. Solemnity is meant to be one that is very triumphant and joyful, reminding us that Christ is the King of everything, that he's a King and victor over sin and death. He's the King, hopefully, of our lives. And yet the church gives us a bit of a downer for the gospel reading. It doesn't really sound like we have much of a very strong King that's being yelled at and told, "Well, just save yourself if you're really this Messiah, if you're really the chosen one." And he doesn't come down from the cross. We don't even get the glory of his resurrection after the crucifixion. The only thing we hear from Jesus is his words to the criminal crucified next to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." But that is actually an example, or I would say the fullness of the kingdom that Jesus came to bring. The kingdom that we seek to inherit as his followers is not a kingdom of this world or a kingdom of earthly riches and nice things. Instead, it's meant to be a kingdom that's like the paradise that God originally intended us to live in. Because when the crowds, and I would say probably even the criminal that's next to Jesus, hear this word paradise, they're not thinking of heaven like our Christian theology may teach. They're not thinking that this thief will be forgiven of all his sins and brought into the beatific vision. Instead, they're thinking of the original paradise. The Garden of Eden that was created by God when Adam and Eve, when humanity was first created. This original place where God was meant to give them everything, that they would have everything provided for them. They could live in peace and harmony with each other and with creation and live in perfect union with God, our Father. But this paradise, this kingdom that Jesus is speaking of, isn't necessarily just to kind of get rid of the bad stuff in the world today. It's not just to kind of fix the sin and evil that's around us. But it's actually meant to show us that because of that sin and evil, it's almost like something has been attached to us. Something that wasn't originally there that makes it harder for us to live as God originally intended. Jesus' job with his death and resurrection as the King of all creation is to actually get rid of all that extra stuff. To leave that extra baggage behind so that we can live in this paradise that he desires for us. Yes, we would say ultimately in eternity in heaven, but also that we can start to experience that kingdom here on earth. I think that's why so many of the early Christians saw that when they were going out to preach the gospel and they were going out to live their lives as followers of Jesus, it felt like that heavenly kingdom was starting to come down to earth. And it wasn't so much that they were looking forward to a time that life would be different, but they just saw that following Jesus as the king of their lives, everything started to change. Changed how they interacted with their neighbors, changed maybe the jobs that they worked or the things that they did. This may sound silly to us, but it even changed their calendar. Really, in the first couple centuries, most of the feast days they would have been celebrating were Roman feast days. They would have celebrated all sorts of Roman gods with everybody else in the town. They would have celebrated big and momentous occasions like the founding of the city of Rome. But there would not have been, at least for the widespread society, there wouldn't be celebrations of Christmas or Easter. There wouldn't be any Christian holidays. It would just be the secular holidays, the ones that everybody remembered from their nation or their society. But slowly, as Christians start to spread throughout the world, as they start to take hold in a community, even these big and important feast days become something not just that they celebrate at home or by themselves, but begins to be something that the whole city and community celebrates around. And in a way, this Christian life started to bring the paradise of heaven down here to earth. For many theologians, they would speak of early Christians as being like kings and queens. Not kings in an earthly sense, but kings and rulers of their own bodies and souls. That when we live temperate and virtuous lives, that's us having control of ourselves so that we can be like Christ. It's a much different looking kingdom, but it's one that is actually close to earth. Not far away, not distant, and something we have to wait for. But instead, something we can start to participate in now. Brothers and sisters, I think that's a very similar thing that we need to hear from Jesus today. That we want to be with him today in paradise. Certainly, yes, maybe in the kingdom of heaven if something dramatic were to happen. But even to find little ways to live virtuous lives, to live like Christ, so that his kingdom can start to dwell in us now. It can start to be present and actually change the way our lives look. Not just going along with what our family or the culture or our friends seem to be doing, but instead clearly showing that light of Christ, clearly having that kingship of our own hearts so that we can show forth his goodness and love. I think it's actually very appropriate that this feast day of Christ the King almost always falls near Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving isn't an explicitly Christian holiday. It doesn't celebrate anything in the church or in the life of Jesus. But it is, in some ways, at its heart, a very Christian holiday. And at the heart, giving thanks for the gifts that we have received is the first step of being a Christian. First step of following Jesus is to recognize that I've received gifts and graces that I didn't deserve, but yet the Lord gave me anyway. I've received the gift of faith. I've received the gift of salvation and freedom from sin. And my only response to that generous gift is gratitude. It's not to earn more gifts. It's not to try to show God how good I'm using his gifts for his glory. Just to receive them with gratitude so that I can trust him even more. Because the more we foster that spirit of thanksgiving, the easier it is to trust God and ask for his help when we need it, and to then give him the glory when things go well. We don't need to get the glory and pride ourselves on what we do. And instead, we can see the Lord working through us. Brothers and sisters, I think with that generous spirit of thanksgiving, we can live as good disciples of Christ, but also start to live in that paradise that he wants to give us now. That the kingdom of heaven won't just be something far off that we hope to get at a future date. Said the paradise that God originally intended, that paradise of the Garden of Eden, can start to be present in our lives today. We can follow Christ and trust in God the Father's goodness. That little by little, by living as followers of Jesus, we can hear his words in a similar way that the thief did that was crucified next to him. We can say to him each day, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He will respond, today you will be with me in paradise. Brothers and sisters, let us pray today that this paradise will be present with us. will slough off the attachments to sin and evil, the things that keep us from living that blessed life that God intended in the Garden of Eden. And that little by little, we can bring that peace and justice to our lives. By living as followers of Jesus, we can change the world around us into the paradise he always intended.